works, which God prepared beforehand. For what purpose? So that we would walk in them. See, God's already prepared beforehand a particular purpose, a work. Don't get religious on me. He has prepared beforehand a particular part in the body, in the kingdom, for you to walk in. Now, I don't believe in predestination to where God is so sovereign, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to fall into the will of God and just fulfill the purpose God has for you. No. Because that would be to take away our choice and our personal will. God loves to take us on journeys of discovering Him and discovering more about Him and our place with Him and our relationship and where we fit in this kingdom thing. What is He talking about? What's our purpose in it? What's our identity? But it says here that God's already beforehand, He's prepared a particular place for you, a work for you to fulfill. It's time. It's time now. Talk has to decrease. Doing must increase. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that God transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to a completely different kingdom, the kingdom of His beloved Son. When we accept Him, when we repent, when we turn our, whatever you want to call it, when we come to the Lord, I don't think there's any really form or prescribed prayer for this. But God, I want you. I choose you. I know when I got born again, I was like, God, if you're real. There was a lot of faith in that one. If you're real, God, show it. Prove it. And when we become born again, He transfers us. He does this in the Spirit. You don't move naturally or to a physical location, but you're moved from one kingdom under the domain and the control of one kingdom of darkness, the Bible calls it, to a completely different kingdom. The kingdom of His beloved Son has a completely different king, a whole set of different values, laws by which it operates and functions. And for every person, there's place and there's purpose. There's a mold that only you will fit in that place. Because God beforehand already prepared a particular place for you. Already prepared not only the place, but the work for you to walk in. Whew. As we were worshiping, I'm not sure what to do with this yet. But the Lord was bringing back to me dreams I've had a long time ago that have yet to be fulfilled. I'm not like a big dreamer. I don't get dreams every night. I don't get them every week. I don't get tons of spiritual dreams, but I've had some, and I've had one that was extremely detailed several years ago, why we were here in this building, in this place. And I remember in this dream that when certain things were in its place, Because I remember one of the things, there were many things in this. It was, like I said, one of the most detailed spiritual dreams I've ever had. But one of the things that I remembered when I woke up was I couldn't see accurately. I couldn't see clearly. And the reason I couldn't see clearly is because there were certain things not in place yet. And when certain things got in place, I knew at that moment I was going to be able to see clearly. One of the things the Lord spoke to me some time ago as well, and it happened right here in this room. We were in an intercession, and all of a sudden it dropped in me that the address to this place was 520. As a matter of fact, it was so real to me, I knew it wasn't the exact physical address, but I couldn't remember what the physical address of this place was, this building. I remember even trying to think. Now, 520 sounds close, but it's not exactly, that's not, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you showing me? And it took a little bit. And all of a sudden, I knew it was an address, and Scripture is addresses. And he led me to Acts 5:20, where he spoke personally to me. He said, go into the temple, stand, and preach the whole message of this life. Amen. There's no other scripture like that, by the way. There's only one. That was a word that God spoke right to my heart. Amen. I'm sharing this because we even sang a song about God, your word, speaking to me. And that word, he has a particular word that he spoke. Maybe he has already spoken it. Amen. Or he's speaking it now. That is for you. Yes. To show and to reveal your purpose. But so often we hear these words and it's like, okay, well, we'll just, whenever God wants to work it out. There's another scripture coming to mind here. Let me see if I can find it. I wrote some things down. By the way, as I'm looking for this, yeah, so we kind of looked at this last week, John chapter 14. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? While you're doing that, if you at any time, here, home, whatever, you are getting stuff or sensing things in the spirit, particularly for our body or other people here, don't keep it quiet. Don't keep it quiet. If you're not sure what to do with it, email me, call me, Renee, somebody, and say, hey, I'm just sensing this. I'm getting this. Are you getting something now? Good, very good. Did everybody hear that? Is this working?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's. If you could say that again, we can record that as well.
During worship, I heard, my presence is here to transform. Step into the area into which I have called you and created you.
Amen. Good. Good stuff. Welcome back, by the way.
As you were talking and bringing out that verse in Colossians, how we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the Holy Spirit was saying, it's a supernatural, spiritual transference that takes place as we yield our mind and our bodies to the Spirit. God comes in and the transference takes place. It's not this striving and listing all these goals and your priorities and taking a personality test. And it's not all these outward things to find out what your destiny, our destiny is in the Lord. There's a supernatural transference that happens as we yield. And it's accomplished in a day-by-day walk.
Good. Very good. Anybody else? And two, if you get something that, you know, please don't let it blow by. Just even email it, send it, tell us, whatever kind of things. Because the Lord speaks to all of us. And we need to hear what God is saying. Because we want to be a prophetic type of people. You know what that means? It doesn't mean weird. It doesn't mean out there just, you know, saying whatever. Prophetic, just a basic description or definition of what I'm talking about being a prophetic type of people, is really having God's mind and heart on what's going on right now. Getting God's perspective on current events as well as how they're going to affect the future. It's not only, when we hear the word prophetic, sometimes we think it's only just the future, future, future. And it has that element. Because the things that we are hearing from God now, and if we take action and do what he's saying now, it will affect the future. It'll change things in the future. And he'll show us those things to come. Jesus even says, look, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Part of his purpose is what? To show us things to come. See, we want to be a prophetic type of people where we're hearing God's voice. We know what he's saying. One of the things also that God brought up to me, and maybe those of you that have been here for a while will remember this, because I mentioned it, that I had a dream that kind of startled me a little bit. It was a very, you know, simple little dream. And it was that there were just, I don't want to say pig pens, sheep pens. There were like corrals, and people were all in these different corrals. And we were in one particular corral. You know what I mean? It's like a fenced-in area that had a gate to it. And the shepherd was walking. Jesus was walking to each of the corrals, and he was touching the gate and or opening the gate. And he didn't yell. It was no fanfare. It wasn't just loud. People were milling around. They're talking to themselves. They're going about their daily lives. And he opened up the gate and he said, come on, let's go. And I remember there was a handful of us that heard his voice. We looked and we started to move and we turned around to look. And most people were still milling about and they were still talking with one another, had no idea that Jesus ever showed up, that he opened the gate, that he even spoke. And what he was showing me was, we've got to be trained to recognize and hear the voice of God. It's so critical. We hear our own voice, we hear our own desires, our own wishes, our own wants. We decipher God's word through our own. Matter of fact, I brought this in today, I think. This is an air filter off of a car. And when air comes into the carburetor, it goes through the filter because it wants to do what? It wants to trap the dirt and the dust and the leaves and the garbage and the air that could go into the carburetor, into the engine, and cause damage. So they put a filter there to filter that air, so that stuff, and then it has to be cleaned and or replaced. This is a washable one, a cleanable one. But a lot of them are just paper, and they just need to be thrown out, and a new one needs to be put in. Do you realize that we all have a filter? I have a filter over my heart and over my mind. My filter is made up of my own personal preferences, my own personal doctrine, theology. It's been molded by my past experiences, the culture in which I live, the life experiences that I had, the hurts, the wounds. There are so many different things that make up the filter element. I just realized this is an oiled filter. No, wait, what are you going to do now? And when God's word is spoken or we read it, it always comes through our filter. It's interesting. Have you ever done any kind of or just thought about it, experiment or whatever? It's like even what I'm talking about now, if we all talk about it later, we're all going to hear different things from it. We get different things from it. It passes through our filter to decipher. That's why our filter, our heart's got to be clean. Can't have bitterness and sin and unforgiveness and hurts and wounds and all of these things. And I mean, sometimes our filter is so big, very little of what God is saying actually passes through. But we've got to be able to recognize God's voice. I want to be to the point that we're not behind the curve. You know what I mean by that? When certain things are about to happen in the world, that we hear it first, we see it first, and we get prepared before it ever happens. I mean, when there was a famine about to come on the land, God rose up a Joseph. And he began how? Interpreting dreams. Getting clarity on what God was saying. What God was doing. Being able to take that dream and not just toss it away, but tell me what you're saying. God is the one that interprets dreams. Joseph said that. He goes, I don't know how to do that. God is, and God will make it plain. That we'll discern the times, the seasons, and what's going on, and raising up a Joseph. You know, we have such a Joseph generation today. Think about it. All of the things that has happened to Joseph. Rejection. Rejection's rampant in our society, in our culture. Abuse. Sex trafficking. Slave trafficking. He was trafficked as a slave. Rejected from his own family. Accused falsely. I mean, we can just go name all of the different things that has happened to Joseph. It's wild how much his life represents the culture in our society. In prison and in bondage. Forgotten about. You ever feel forgotten about? He even said, hey, don't forget me. You know, when you go back, tell them. Still forgotten about. Dad wrote him off for dead. But even in that state, the Lord began to move and to work on his heart and give him insight. Not just so we can have insight, but that he can save a nation. He can be a savior, a type and shadow of a savior for not just a nation, but the world. You know the story. He's in prison. The next night, he's second in command of the greatest world power. See, God wants to raise up Josephs. Governmental people that have wisdom and insight from God, that knows how to prepare for the famine, prepare for the things to come on the earth, that has insight, wisdom, and just God is speaking, God is giving this clarity, focus. That's being a prophetic type of a person, hearing and having clarity on God, on what God is saying, what God is doing. You know, most Christians, they walk around, they have no idea. Jesus even rebuked people for not being able to discern the spiritual climate of the day. He told the farmers, he said, look, you know when it's going to rain, you know when it's harvest, you know all of these things, but you can't discern this. When you see certain, he's even given us, when you see certain signs happening. See, God's called us to be a covenant people. I think we've lost sight of that. You know what? Covenant's a lot more than an agreement. It's much more than a contract. Here's covenant. He gave his life for me. I give my life to him. That's covenant. It's not, okay, God, you died for me and you've laid out all this inheritance and all of these blessings, so I want it, and I want it, and I want it. See, covenant blessing requires covenant faithfulness. And God made a covenant with Israel. And our nation is trying to get that covenant broken. I'm just going to tell you what I personally believe. We're not going to have answers to all our debt and economic problems, because I believe they're caused by that covenant breaking in Israel, until we get some things straight there as a nation. I really believe, I'm just going to go out on a real big fat limb. I saw this Wednesday. I told this to Renee. I didn't know what to do with it. I saw the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the United States. I wasn't sure what to do with it Wednesday. How to pray for that. How to speak into that at that moment. It was so shocked me and so wowed me. I know we got the concept, but you know, when you understand concepts and different things, and then all of a sudden you see it, whether it's a vision or a dream, it's like, oh my gosh, really? It almost makes it like more alive, and it's like, what do you do with all of that? So we can't just keep doing this stuff we call church. I'm going to be mean. I hear your amens. I do. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? We've got to step into what God has called us personally. We've got to step into that and start putting our hand to that plow. Yeah, it's going to be scary. The scripture I was going to turn to there in John chapter 14. Verse 1, Jesus is speaking. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That is so weak in English. So weak. See, we've defined that so much as, well, I believe God exists. I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus exists. I believe that. No, that is a verb there in the Greek. And it's a verb, a word that is, it's faith, but it's also a commit. Like, you commit yourself, commit your ways unto the Lord. There is a strong, that verb action word, there is a strong sense of be obedient to Him. Not just believe that He exists, believe that He's there. Demons believe that. They're still bound for hell, or bound in hell. But to commit ourselves, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Panicked, anxiety. Commit yourself. You know, that the word confess is very similar to that, where it says confess Jesus Christ, confess the name of the Lord. What it really means is to submit yourself wholeheartedly to the authority of Christ. It's weak in the English because we confess, well, I'll just say the name and that does it. No. It's committing our life. When we get born again, we are entering, whether we realize it or not, into a covenant relationship. He gave His life for us. To Him, it's all about us. To us, it's all about Him. And our covenant with Him is our giving our whole life to Him. It's not an agreement. It's not a contract. A couple lawyers didn't hammer this out. It's all. Or really, it's nothing. It's just an illusion if it's not all. It's an illusion. But Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Commit your ways. But put your faith, your trust, your obedience in God. And the same with me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. He doesn't have the plan. He doesn't have the method. He is it. He is it. And to follow him is fluid, and it's not always the same. It's a God of variety and discovery and journey and excitement. And he's laid out for us a kingdom. You know, in the kingdom or in an ecclesia, there are many facets to ecclesia. The overall definition of the overall emphasis of the ecclesia is to be governmental, with, yes, a legislative and a judicial branch. To hear what God is saying, to speak forth what God is saying, and to act on what God is saying, which means do. That's the implementation. We can't be stuck in hearing only and speaking only. We've got to hear, speak, and implement and do what he's saying. I believe the enemy has got us fooled in several different areas, but in one of this with the kingdom, is with the kingdom that I believe that so many just think it's going to happen someday. It's just going to poof and be there. I know many Christians don't believe it at all until Jesus returns. But Jesus never said that. That's the final consummation. That's what we're leading up to, but he said it back then, the kingdom is at hand. He preached the kingdom. He said the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then the end will come. It's all about the kingdom. And I have begun to realize more and more when the Lord spoke to me several years back, I don't even remember now, it's been quite a few, Acts 5:20, the address, go to the temple and preach the whole message of this life. That's what he was talking about. Preach the kingdom. Because in the kingdom is that place of rest. It is the Sabbath place. It is that spiritual place that all provision is provided for us. Everything is there. Healing is there. Provision, everything that we need. Function, place, intimacy with the Lord. You name it, everything, just like the Garden of Eden, is there. That's the whole message of this life. It's a kingdom message. But until we understand that and our place in it, because our place in this is not only to understand it, it's not only to hear it, it's not only to speak it, but to begin implementing what God is speaking and showing us, because that is where the manifestation of the kingdom will begin to happen in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our congregations, in our cities. Are you really hearing this, what I'm trying to say? I'm not the best of communicators. I understand that. And sometimes it's... But we've got to hear what he's saying and then begin to step into that and start doing it. What's the best, wish I knew how to speak English very well. What's the first step to that? The priority? Oh, that's it.
Hearing from God.
All right, I'm gonna say this again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be provided. That's the priority. That's the priority. Let me ask you a question. Let's just get basic. Do you understand the kingdom? Do you understand it? You got it wired? You got it figured out?
Trick question.
I don't. I'm understanding more of it today than I did last year. Because Jesus said to do what? Seek it first. And his righteousness. Not just knowing about his righteousness, but what he did to cause me to become righteous, and then not only entitled that I would walk in righteousness. And as we are walking in his righteousness and becoming more and more like him, and we're seeking first the kingdom of God. What are you talking about, Lord? What does it look like? Where's my place in it? And we're beginning to step into it. Guess what is happening? The kingdom begins to expand and advance. Amen. But if we don't, and we sit around and we come to church week in and week out in our prayer groups and our fellowship groups and all of this stuff, and I love all of that. Don't misunderstand me. But nowhere are we really, we talk kingdom. We use the term. Are some of you smiling because you really want to throw something at me? I'm not sure. We use the term kingdom. But are we really pursuing the kingdom? Are we really seeking first the kingdom and my place in it? What are you saying? Because he has left this right now to his body. The government rests on his shoulders, the body. So let's get with it. What is God saying? Are we hearing what his voice is? Do we recognize it? What's he saying to us? What's he saying to you personally? One of the things is we got to get in alignment. We got to get in position. And I'm not just talking about us here. The body of Christ, though, we got people, they're just out of position. They're just scattered. Not everybody, but a big portion of them. They're not sure where they belong, or God has spoken it to them, and they just don't want to do it. See, all of this comes into play. We've got to hear what God is saying, get in alignment, get where God wants us to be. I mean, if God is speaking to me to move, like, to Africa, he's not, by the way. Now, God's called me to whatever, to be an evangelist, and he can use me right here. No. You might do good stuff. You can do good stuff without God. Do you know that? But I don't know, call me crazy, but when I stand before the Lord, even though it was good stuff, it's still wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want a huge, big fire, when I'm standing before the Lord. I want it like the match strike. Oh, that was it. That was it. But we've got to get in position. We've got to get in alignment, see. Yeah. This makes sense. Just threw some stuff out there. Can we be seekers of first the kingdom of God? You know, when you seek the kingdom, the number one thing of a kingdom, there's a king. So that's inclusive. You're seeking the king of the kingdom. Kingdom also has, should I dare say it, subjects. There's subjects. There's people in the kingdom. Allow the Lord to speak to you and give you some bigger insight of what does that mean? Do we really want to see the kingdom manifest here and operate, even though we don't really know everything of what that looks like and sees? And do we believe that it's really possible? Do we understand that we have a place, you have a place, a particular place in that kingdom? So we just can't teach people how to cope in this life anymore. We just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. If that's what you're looking for, you probably need to go somewhere else. I'm just being honest. I can't do it anymore. I can't teach you how to cope in this life and in this world. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure I know how to do it anymore. You know what I mean by that? But I want to be a seeker of the kingdom and know what that is, what it looks like, and my part in it. I want to conform to the kingdom, not try to adapt to the world. This isn't our home. It's not our home. We have another home. But we have a mission to do while we're here. We have a mission to do. See, praise the Lord. Would you all stand? I'm not sure why I asked you.